everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into The Kelly O Show. Today's guest is Lori Christine King, and she truly is one of my favorite people to follow online. Truthfully, you know how there's people you follow on Instagram, and there's people that you know by heart. Like, you will actually look them up if they're not in your feed. You look them up because you want to check in with them every day. And she is one of those people. I think she is truly, she's such a unique powerhouse of a woman. I had to stalk her and get her on the show. But the knowledge that this woman has based on her own experience with dealing with major hormonal issues at a very young age, and that's part of her unique perspective. I love the fact that here's a woman who's just about to turn 30, who's experienced a whole hell of a lot of the same hormonal issues that I have at age, you know, well, mine started, I think, around 43. But there really is a misunderstanding out there with women thinking that hormone issues only happen when you're in perimenopause or menopause, or, you know, when you're quote unquote older, whatever that definition means now. And if you listen to Lori, you'll hear some of her issues started when she was 17. So she has a very compelling story. She is wicked smart, incredibly articulate, very well-spoken, and well-read. I just can't say enough good things about her. Every Instagram post she puts out, I save to one of my collections. She's got some fantastic fitness programs out there. I'm certain that many of you will not only want to buy all of her fitness programs, but certainly gobble up all the information she has out there. She's just started a YouTube channel so that she can serve her audience in a bigger way. And she really just has a lot to teach. Today, what we started to cover, and when I say we started to cover, this is a two-part episode. So this is part one that you're listening to here. Make sure you tune into part two. We're going to have her back on the show because we really barely scratched the surface. We talked a lot about how hormonal birth control will affect your hormones, your body, your fitness goals, all of that. We started to scratch the surface on, you know, diet and exercise and some fitness myths. But again, we agreed while we were on the show, while we were recording, that she's going to come back. So just know that I see her as being a regular. She's just, as much as I can have her, I hope that she'll be a regular. She's just that much. I think she's one of the smartest people online, truly. And I know you're going to love this interview. So again, tune in. This is part one of this two-part episode with Lori Christine King. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kelly O Show. Today, I have my major woman crush, fitness crush. I don't want to say idol because that sounds funny, but I absolutely, I'm trying to think of how I discovered you, Lori, but Lori Christine King is on the show with us today. And I truly think she is one of the smartest, savviest, sassiest, full of knowledge bombs, truth bombs, totally motivational. There's no hold barred with her information. She's one of the best people on the internet to follow, period.
And I was so excited when she said yes to be on the show, because I know that what we're going to talk about today, ladies, you're going to want to tune in, get your notebook out. If you're in the car, listen to this when you get home, or listen to it in the car and then listen to it when you get home and take notes. You will want to follow her. You will want to buy all of her eBooks. You will want to tune to everything she does, because she's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And I just think, what a gift you are. And I mean that. I know I sound very cheesy, Lori, but I'm so glad to have you on the show. Are you ready to go?
Thank you, Kelly. I'm so hyped to be here.
You are a force to be reckoned with. And that's, I've had someone describe me that way, but I really do. I think that you are just a powerhouse of knowledge. And I love that you are so 1000% like yourself, and people will ask you stuff, and I'm going to bring up a lot of these things. Jennifer Lopez is one of them. And Beyonce and some of these crazy diets. But we have a lot. Let me give everybody that's listening a trailer. Like, we're going to talk about a lot of hormone stuff today. We're going to talk a lot about the crazy bullshit things that women do to try to get fit that are completely wrong. We're going to talk about fad diets that all these celebrities are putting out there. Because Lori just doesn't pull any punches. She just throws it down, and she just knows. I have learned so much from this woman. I had to get her on the show. But before we get into some of that stuff, into some of the hormones and you know, spending money on yourself and all of that, Tell me, because I don't know this. I always ask people when they're on the show the first time, you know, when was it for you that you started getting into leading a fit lifestyle? When did you start working out and watching what you ate, or leading that, you know, pursuing fitness? When was that for you in your life, and why?
Great question, Kelly. So I would actually beg to say kind of my whole life. So I was a competitive gymnast, and we started that at the tender age of 5. So from the get-go, was always interested. I've always said that like movement is my love language. But I love being active. And so at 5 years old, was a competitive gymnast basically up and through, I would say high school is kind of when I started to just get burnout, because it was like, get up, go to school, do the thing, sleep, get up, go to school. You know, and so it's like part of me just wanted to be a normal kid. But even in my high school years is when things kind of started to shift. And so as I moved away from competitive exercise, and I'll put air quotes on like just wanting to be, you know, a normal teenager, is when I actually discovered that I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. And so for those that are unfamiliar, your thyroid is a gland in your neck. It controls everything from, you know, how your metabolism, temperature regulation, your sleep, you know, everything under the sun, it's all intimately connected. And so here I was, you know, 17 or 18 years old, it was the tail end of high school. And so I was sleeping upwards of 14, 15, 16 hours a day. I was missing school. And so my parents started to be like, huh, that's not normal. Let's get you to a doctor. And so sure enough, started taking thyroid medication, but wasn't really feeling better, right? And you know, when you go to the doctor, they say, oh yeah, just take this thing and everything will be smooth sailing. But like there was never a conversation that I now, you know so much to be true, is that a pill cannot fix your shitty lifestyle habits. And you know, I was a typical teenager. Like I air quotes ate healthy, aka I ate like Subway sandwiches and went to Jamba Juice and Juice Land. You know, I drank sugar-free Red Bull, you know, and I and so again, it's like, well, no duh that you know, my
isn't that what Beyonce
like,
does right now to get fit?
I don't know if Beyonce is allowed to have a mute button, but I feel like all celebrities, like there should be a rule that says like, please do not talk about nutrition and education. And I would actually beg to say many doctors as well, because doctors, and again, there are doctors that choose to, you know, go to school and have sub degrees and stuff like that. But for the most part, people don't realize that a doctor never is required to take a nutrition class. I think present day, even if you look at the statistics, it's like 25% of schools that a doctor would attend, there might be, you know, a credit hour or three, in which case, obviously, again, you're covering the basic protein, carb, fat. You're not even getting into like how to help counsel people on nutrition for their health and, you know, all that stuff. But so long story short, I, you know, started taking thyroid medication, still wasn't really feeling better. And so it was right around the time I was going to college, and it was like, okay, well, if, you know, if my doctor can't show up and, you know, help me with my health, I'm going to be the CEO of my own life and I'm going to step up to the plate and I'm going to go to school for this. Because A, how can I selfishly help myself? But then how can I help other people in my position, you know, never be in my position? And so a big part of that was with all this thyroid stuff going on, I had very fucked relationships with food. Because again, if your thyroid messes with your metabolism and you know, changes that equation, well, suddenly, you know, here I am in high school. I've never had to worry about what I'm eating, never had to worry about my weight. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm sleeping 5 million hours a day. I'm gaining weight. I'm, you know, not fitting in my clothes. I feel like garbage. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, wait. You know, something here isn't adding up. So how do I, you know, how do I grab control of this? And so I ended up going to school. I went to Illinois State University, got a degree in nutrition dietetics. And so unfortunately, as I got into that situation, I understand that not everybody, you know, falls into the same paradigm as me. But it's like when I went to school for this, Illinois State used to be ranked one of the top 10 universities for dietetics. And it's why I chose to go there. And yet here we were sitting in school learning about, you know, my food pyramid and, you know, this idea of like, oh yeah, dietary fats are bad, carbs are good, low protein diets. And so it was like drink chocolate milk post-workout. So just all of these bunk ideas. And so like I tell people that's like, bless my parents, because every single weekend I would call them and just be like, this isn't the right career path for me. Like, I don't want to be a registered dietitian. Like I'm working under 14 dietitians that are all morbidly obese or overweight or the farthest picture from health. And we're prescribing things that are making people more sick or keeping them sick. And so, you know, thankfully my parents just said, Lori, like, let's get the degree. We'll figure it out. We'll make the plan B. But it was one of those, you know, again, I went to school thinking I would be able to help people. And then like mortified is a very strong word. But like I said, like it was a topic that I was so passionate about. And this passion to help people and also, you know, again, selfishly help myself. And then it was like, I got catfished by college, you know, I got catfished by my bachelor's degree. So I personally elected to not become a registered dietitian. It would have required $50,000 to $60,000 of debt, because again, you have to pursue a master's, you have to study and take a test, you intern, you're working for free for 2 years. And so it was just like, none of that aligned. That didn't make sense. And like, if anybody follows me on social media, like I'm a very strong opinionated person. So like I don't want to say like to sit in the back of a classroom, you know, with a muffle on like that, just isn't going to work. And so, you know, post-college, I found CrossFit. I was training for a marathon, discovered CrossFit. And so it was my first introduction. This was around 2012, 2013. It was my first introduction to lifting weights. And so it was such a powerful time in my life, because it was the first time that my body was no longer just something to look at. It was the first time that I wasn't obsessing over how I looked and how my body appeared to people. But the focus became, oh my God, I want to be strong. I want to pick up even heavier weights. Like, it's so cool. Like, I picked up this weight, but I want more. And so it really shifted my focus. And so post-college, like, bless my parents, because again, it's like my parents actually paid for my entire college experience. I never paid a penny. And so here I was, you know, graduating with a degree, and I said, hey, mom and dad, I'm going to be a CrossFit coach. And they said, okay, honey, get it. All right. And so present day, you know, several years later, I got into competitive CrossFit. I competed at CrossFit regionals on a team and somehow found my way back to nutrition coaching, because I realized that that hour a day that you can give people in the gym is so powerful. But what if you go after the other 23, right? Like, it doesn't matter what you do in that 60 minutes. It will never be able to overcome if, you know, well, are you sleeping at night? What type of food are you putting in your body? You know, are you drinking massive quantities of caffeine? You know, so all of these things. And so my switch there kind of turned. And so I ended up back in the nutrition space. And so it's just funny how it's like, a part of you might go missing for a while, and then you still always end up being back to where you need to be. Because I tell people, it's like, here I am, I will be 30 at the end of this month, next weekend, actually. And
happy birthday, early.
Thank you. But to be 30 years old, it's like, I've done the competitive exercise thing. I ran a marathon. I used to, you know, low key, like I did Pilates and yoga and again, you know, gymnastics and all these different modalities. But same thing, you know, it's like, I've had some really shitty relationships with food and not eating enough food. And, you know, reversely, like being afraid to just eat food and take up space in the weight room. But again, at this time, it's like I'm 30 years old and I treated my body like such a trash can through my early 20s that here I am on thyroid medication. I'm on hormone replacement therapy for estrogen and testosterone. Because at the end of the day, I was doing everything right. I was eating super, super well, you know, maximizing time in bed and de-stressing and getting enough steps and fiber and eating cruciferous vegetables and fruits and all the stuff. And at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. And so it's like, when I talk to people, it's like, I don't want to say people that come to me, it's like, I've pretty much experienced it all. I would venture to say the only thing I've never truly struggled with would be like being very, very overweight. But again, with thyroid stuff, like I feel you on the diet struggles of, oh, you're showing up, you're doing air quotes, all the right things, and you're not able to lose that weight, or you're not able to, you know, be comfortable in your skin and your body and stuff like that. And so it's like, I really come from a place of, I have experience in everything. And I think that's part of why I've done so well via social media and stuff like that is, I can connect with just about everybody because I've been there and I see you and, you know, all that stuff.
I'm so glad that you brought this up because, you know, and with your age as a context as well, because, you know, I'm 20 years older than you. So I just turned 50 this year and I'm, you know, I started bioidentical. The first time I got my blood work done was, I think it was 43, 44. And I was in early perimenopause and all of that stuff. And I'm in the midst of menopause now, but I have all these issues. And sometimes women mistakenly think that this is a menopause, perimenopause after 40 thing. And it's not, because what I have observed, and I think your experience just confirms that, which is I started to see that more and more women were experiencing massive hormonal issues. And it wasn't just 40 plus. It was women in their 20s. My friend Sherry was 25 when she started having hormonal issues. And ladies in their 30s, I mean, all over the place. And this stuff that can happen hormonally with your thyroid, with cortisol, with adrenal fatigue, it's lifestyle driven. It can also be, and we're going to talk about this today because Lori's the expert on so much of this. I have some experience and have learned some, but Lori just schools me all the time online. But so much of this can be caused by our fitness pursuits. And I think a lot of women out there are starting to see more and more of it. Sometimes it's, you know, there's a couple people I know who have pursued a fitness path, gotten breast implants, and now they're doing the whole explant thing because that has destroyed their hormones. A lot of women, they've just been eating such shitty protein powders and protein bars. I was one of them. Branched chain amino acids, all the stuff that you see in your GNCs and your vitamin shops that are filled with shit. They've been eating them and consuming them with the goal of losing weight for so many years. Then they're on birth control. Then they're on diuretics and all these other things. And years later now, we're starting to see, you know, tens of thousands of women with hormonal issues. And then the next generation is coming up and they're, because of what their parents are consuming, they're presenting with hormone issues. I mean, girls are getting their period at like 8 and developing, you know, pubic hair and breasts. And I mean, that's like a whole other thing. So this topic of our health from a bigger picture, I love that you know, you brought up like, I was eating all the right foods. I was eating the vegetables. I was getting sleep. and there was still something that wasn't working and you're not even 30. I love that you brought that up because I do feel that this is widespread, more widespread than we realize for women of all ages. And it's becoming more widespread because of all of these different things, antibiotic use, lifestyle use, crappy nutrition, birth control. Do you agree that this is something that sadly is probably more, it's permeating more age groups than we realize?
Well, I think here's the thing, right? So for me personally, at 16 years old, I went on birth control and it wasn't like I wasn't having sex then, right? It was not for pregnancy prevention. It was because I had horrible, horrible cystic acne. And yeah. I would have like the menstrual cycles where you didn't go to school. And so the issue is that there was never any conversation from the doctor's end of, well, hey, how are you eating? You know, what does your lifestyle look like? What does your exercise look like? Because again, from the nutrition standpoint alone, I was murdering the game. I was eating copious amounts of sugar. I'm sure my blood sugar was horrific because all day long, it was like I was just consuming just sugar and processed foods. And like, even if I look back, it's like, oh, it's good. I used to murder like gluten and dairy. Well, I'm lactose intolerant and I can't do gluten either. So that took a long learning curve to realize, oh, but you know, it's like, I wasn't getting enough fiber. Again, my thyroid alone was already an issue. And so, you know, there were just all of these things where it's like, there was never that conversation. And that's a very common problem where you have all these women that think it's normal to have horrific menstrual cycles that are super heavy, super painful, super long, horrific cramps. You know, PMS is almost like this meme in itself where there's so many jokes around, you know, oh, she's on the rag and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's like present day, I actually have a symptomless menstrual cycle. Like there's no, you know, it's like it shows up and it leaves and there's not a whole bunch of drama surrounding it. And I never thought I would be one of those people because it's like, even when I was on the pill, I was on the pill for 12 years and doctors said, oh, like your periods are so bad on the pill. Just don't have them. And so now I know your menstrual cycle is the best signal of your underlying health, right? That's how periods should be, is they shouldn't be a pain in the ass. Is it still inconvenient to bleed for, you know, several days of the month? Absolutely. But again, it shouldn't be debilitating. There shouldn't be massive mood swings. It shouldn't be, you know, oh, I need massive amounts of Advil, or oh, I can't go to the gym, or oh, I'm missing work or school. Like it should be relatively symptomless. And so I think even present day, the conversation is getting out there. We have such great, you know, doctors and influencers and educators in the space that are getting women to pay attention to this idea. But how many teenagers at the first sign of having a menstrual cycle just go on the pill? Or, you know, you talk about they go to college and it's part of the going away, you know, care package of like, oh, don't get pregnant, here you go. But there's never the conversation of the long-term effects of that. And I'll be honest, like my personal opinion, again, I am 100% guilty of I overtrained. I did too much exercise. You know, I wasn't eating enough food for many, many years. You know, I sufficiently checked the box on treating my body like an asshole for years and years and years through my early and late 20s. But I genuinely do believe that being on hormonal birth control from the time I was 16 until I was 28. And it was like the only time I would have a menstrual cycle would be like, if I forgot to pick up my prescription, you know, if I forgot to pick up the pills. But your body isn't meant to be shut down like that, right? Like hormonal birth control shuts down that connection from our ovaries to our brain. And so when there's no conversation, you know, it's like your hormones are flatlined. You press the off button. That's not normal. And so I believe fluidly that part of why my body just said, hey, dude, like, here you are, you're 5'3", you work out 4 days a week for 60 minutes doing bodybuilding. Like, I don't even sweat when I work out half the time. But it's like, you know, I don't eat processed foods. I'm not eating, you know, refined sugars. I'm always getting 25 to 35 grams of fiber a day. I'm getting, you know, 2 to 3 servings of fruit a day, 500 to 600 grams of vegetables. I'm drinking enough water, you know, all of this stuff. Like I'm 5'3", eating 2,500 calories on a daily basis. So like my body is for the first time ever probably feeling safe, right? Like we're sufficiently checking the box on like adulting and doing all the right things. And yet my body still like that's not enough and it no longer produces hormones. Like I do believe that there is a piece of that where it's like, hey, well, maybe what would that outcome look like if you hadn't taken the pill for 12 years and press the off button.
And the pill is such a, I get so revved up about it because in retrospect, just like you, I went on the pill, my friend Jody, I'm going to blame my friend Jody. God love you, Jody, if you're listening to this. But when we were going to college, I went to Ohio State and I remember her going, we are going to Planned Parenthood and we're going to be on the pill because, you know, now we're having sex and we're going to be cool. And, you know, we went to like a very private Christian school. So for us, like not having our parents watch over us was like, yeah, we're going to not go to class and we're going to go out and party and drink and whatever. So I remember going to Planned Parenthood and getting my first pap smear and them giving me a year's supply of pills for $1 a month. And they make it exceptionally cheap and it was Orthonovum 777. And I was on it from age 19 until 43, 44. And I was always on it. And I remember they would always say, it's going to be so great because you're only going to get your period during the week. So you'll never have it on the weekend when you want to party with your friends. And I'm like, this is so awesome. And they would, and my period would be, I would get it on Tuesday afternoon at 4:00. And I would be done by Thursday afternoon at 2:00. And it would, I would barely use 2 tampons. I'd hardly have any blood. I didn't have cramping. But never was it explained to me when I went on the pill that this is changing your hormones and this is going to have any, and I never considered it, And it wasn't until.
Kelly, let me tell you, sister. So we went the full smorgasbord of like, I would say from 21 to 24, I was test driving depression meds, anti-anxiety meds. Like I would straight up have panic attacks. And so it never dawned on me. And I know present day now, you know, there's been so many lawsuits, whether it's I forget if Yaz and Yasmin are the exact same thing. They're very, very similar. But one of those two, you know, is notorious for like women were literally killing themselves. And so there were all these lawsuits because it was causing mood issues. And the wild thing is like, I am a slightly anxious person. It's something I do still struggle with to a degree here and there present day, but not to the extent that I did on the pill. And I never made the connection. And so it was like, I was going to the doctor just trying, you know, well, that depression med didn't work. How about this one? And you were just cycling through. And at some point finally just came, you know, I had a serious sit down with myself and I just said, well, I feel even worse on these. So I'll settle with feeling like shit. And it was so wild to me because very same to you, it was like, oh, the pill's great. It's not causing me any problems. I don't have a cycle. This is beautiful. And it wasn't until 28 years old when I had a coworker point out the fact that hormonal birth control can affect thyroid function. And I'd never once seen optimal thyroid levels, even though again, on paper, I was checking all the boxes of doing all the right things. And sure enough, 3 months off of hormonal birth control, it was the first time in my life pulling blood work every 3 months from the time that I was, you know, 18 years old, that I had optimal thyroid values and went, oh my God. And since then, I tell people it was like a veil was lifted. It was like my black and white world suddenly became colorful. I had no idea. And I thought that it was just me, that it was normal to wake up and be in a bad mood. Like being in a good mood was a choice that I had to hardly lean into and choose and show up as. And now, you know, again, present day, it's like, I feel like I've been given my life back the past 2 years because I don't struggle with all of those things that I struggled with while being on the pill. And I had no idea because again, the thing is hormones are very slow. And so even when we're talking about cycles, you know, let's say this month you had a really just uncomfortable menstrual cycle, it's not a reflection of necessarily what you're doing right here in this moment. You would have to dial back to when those follicles actually started developing. So we're talking, you know, kind of dialing back 2 to 3 months, something like, you know, 90 to 100 days. And so, you know, it's like perhaps wow. we were cutting for weightlifting meat. And so now, you know, 3 months forward, okay. Body is giving feedback like that was not cool, right? And so I think very much that's why some women, it's like they go on the pill or they get an IUD and they don't really notice it because again, it just kind of creeps in and then suddenly you're new you. And I think part of what probably did me a disservice is I've been single for several years. But when you have a partner that's suddenly like, hey, like I want to have sex and you're like, you're not interested. What's going on? Or, hey, honey, like, what's going on with our mood? Because we are acting like a totally different person. I never really had that person. And so I want to say some stuff probably flew under the radar longer than it should. But it was like, again, I thought that was just me. I thought that was how I was wired. And so when I got off birth control, it was just like, oh my God, like what, how different might my life be if I didn't spend 10 years of it, you know, taking this pill and doing this thing. And I think again, the bigger annoyance also, because at some point there was the, hey, I don't want to have babies. Cool. Thank you. There are plenty of ways to naturally prevent pregnancy that don't involve altering your hormones and shutting them down. There was never that conversation either. And I think still even present day, society does a really poor job of this. You know, sex ed does a really poor job of this, where it's like, guys, there are literally, this doesn't apply if you have a very irregular cycle, right? Like if you have a cycle that shows up once every 4 months, this does not apply to you. But if you have a consistent cycle, it's 5 to 6 days a month that you potentially can get pregnant. And that's it. It's around ovulation time. But again, you talk to women, I didn't know what ovulation was until I was 28 years old and deep in the weeds nerding out over this shit. And so I think there's just so many things that's like women are being let down in big ways. Like I tell people, if I could go back in time, there's so many things that I wish I could tell my 16-year-old self. And like, if I could make, you know, people like Laura Bryden and people like Jolene Britton millionaires. Like I wish that I could just have copies of their book to give to every single woman I meet everywhere, because women need to understand their body. And again, if birth control is what works for you and your lifestyle, awesome, but it needs to be your choice rather than a lack of consent. Because again, if someone had had the conversation with, you know, little teenager me that, hey, yes, this thing might help your acne and it might help you have, you know, not these horrific menstrual cycles, but you might end up with hypothyroidism and you might end up with the autoimmune component of that, which is Hashimoto's. And you might spend, you know, years and years taking depression medication and anxiety medication and just feeling unwell and struggling to, you know, lose weight and all this stuff. I never would have touched it with a 10-foot pole. And that is where my entire platform comes from of there's no right or wrong solution. It is your body and you are fully in control of the things that you want to do to it. But we are missing that conversation as women on how it's going to affect us in the moment, what things are going to happen if we try to transition off of it at a later date. Because again, medically speaking, you know, post-birth control syndrome, which has been coined by Jolene Brighton, or post-oral contraceptive syndrome that was coined by Aviva Ram back in 2008, those aren't medically accepted, right? So it's the equivalent of, you know, adrenal fatigue. Well, adrenal fatigue doesn't exist, you know, that we now know it's APA, you know, axis dysfunction and blah, blah, blah. But I believe that, you know, give it a few more years, people are going to recognize, oh, actually, you know, it's not just as simple as you stop taking the pill, or you stop having an IUD and 3-1 back to normal. It's like, oh, for 6 to 12 months, you might be dealing with acne. You might have really, really heavy cycles. You might have, you know, mood swings. You might have all these things, because again, those problems didn't get fixed by the pill.
You've reached the end of part one of this two-part interview with Lori Christine King. Please make sure that you tune into part two.